Foul Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see Foul Play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Hello, welcome to another half hour of Crime and Criminals. Today, yet again, before your very ears, a murder will be committed, and what's more, its perpetrator will be identified. To help in that identification process, I am joined, as ever, by two highly skilled practitioners in the art of crime writing. Sarah Dunant combines her career as a television and radio journalist with writing very successful crime novels, particularly those featuring her investigator heroine, Hannah Wolfe. Sarah, do you find that the two sides of your work feed into each other?
It is true that I have got ideas for plots as a result of the journalism. And some people, not necessarily my greatest fans, I think have suggested that my journalistic techniques of interviewing have then gained from writing interrogations.
I hope Leah and Maria are suitably warned. Sarah is joined in her investigations today by Keith Miles. Keith has been an actor and in his crime fiction still masks his true identity under pseudonyms. For example, he's written a splendid historical series of novels as Edward Marston. Keith, why the secrecy? Is there something you're ashamed of?
I'm a galloping schizophrenic.
Fine. Ideal for the game. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest investigators. And to people today's mystery with some slippery suspects and at least one merciless murderer, we are joined by Foul Play's resident repertory company, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Right, it's time for a crime, as we hear Maria read the opening to this week's mystery, Daytime Death.
West End Television's morning programme, The Tom and Julie Show, was about to go on air. Without looking at each other, the two presenters on the sofa made their private preparations to enter the nation's sitting rooms. Tom Hendricks tensed his face to reveal his laughter lines. He'd had letters to say that some viewers found them sexy. And Julie Maitland edged the hem of her skirt another half inch up her silk-clad thighs. She too had had letters, and she'd always been a bit of a tease. In front of them on the coffee table lay the props for their opening later in today's programme routine. There was the wooden bowl full of dried leaves, which Tom would lift to his face with a cheery, that's spicy. How can you get your meals smelling like that? And there was the sealed glass container, amidst whose scattered greenery lay unseen the coiled malevolence of a sore-scaled viper, to be trailed by Julie with the cue, close your eyes, all those of you who can't stand snakes, because we're about to meet a man who loves them. As the floor manager's countdown reached one, the jaunty sig tune started and the dreary opening graphics appeared. Still not looking at each other, Tom Hendricks and Julie Maitland locked their smiles into place. At the customary break into the music, Tom appeared, holding up the wooden bowl. That's spice! But he got no further. Live on screen, the serpentine flash of a sore-scaled viper projected itself from the bowl and bit the presenter right on his sexy laughter lines. Tom Hendricks clutched at his heart and slumped forward, dead. In the few million households who hadn't turned the television off, apathy was briefly stirred. This was the first time anything interesting had happened on the Tom and Julie Show.
Well, I don't think I'm giving away too much by saying that it seems we're in the world of daytime television. That's probably about all we can be certain of at this point, but guest investigators, does anything you've heard so far jangle any bells of suspicion?
I really don't think he's dead. I think this is a very good way of getting the ratings of a clearly appalling daytime show up by appearing to die on air.
Well, we will see. Still, the investigation has a while to go yet. You're a bit short of hard facts at the moment. So let's get some hard facts from the person in charge of the official inquiry. That's Inspector Sergeant. And he is, even as I speak, giving a briefing to the assembled national press. Let us join him.
All right, settle down, please. Mr. Hendricks was not, in fact, killed by the poison from the sore-scaled viper. That would have taken time to have effect, and his life could almost certainly have been saved by various well-known antidotes. No, it was shock that killed Mr. Hendricks. Though only his close family were aware of the fact, he had suffered from a weak heart since a childhood bout of rheumatic fever. If the person who removed the viper from its container into the bowl of spices knew that fact, then we are up against a case of premeditated murder. If they didn't, and merely wished to make life uncomfortable for Mr. Hendricks, it was still a vicious crime. It is, incidentally, impossible that the viper escaped from its container unaided. Now, the Tom and Julie show starts transmission at 10 o'clock. The entire studio staff all rehearse until 9:15, when they have a coffee break until 9:45. It is during that period that we believe the viper was released and placed into the spice bowl. According to the snake's owner, Mr. Jerry Huxtable, who was due to appear later as a guest on the show, under the warm studio lights, a sore-scaled viper would have been sleepy and docile. It was only the sudden movement of the creature's resting place that caused it to lash out at Mr. Hendricks. Now, most of the production team were in the canteen during the break and can vouch for each other's movements. The only ones who could have gone into the studio without being seen during that period are Mr. Hendricks himself, who went to his dressing room, Miss Julie Maitland, Miss Hayley Grant, the programme's weather girl, and Mr. Jerry Huxtable.
Well, at least we've got a little more to play with, at least a few names. Does what you've heard move your suspicions in any new direction?
No, but I think that they're going to be looking for a new daytime host for this show, and I think that Inspector Sargent stands a very good chance.
Yes. It is a bit unfair on you because you still don't have enough information to form any proper conclusions. Let's get some more detail in the form of statements from three of the people who were in the Tom and Julie studio on the day when Tom Hendricks was eternally faded to black. And first we'll hear from his deeply shocked co-presenter, the glamorous Julie Maitland.
Well, obviously I'm upset. I mean, to lose a respected colleague with whom one's worked so closely, it's going to take a lot of getting over. You know, Tom was the consummate professional. We got on splendidly, but we didn't often meet outside work. Goodness, I had no idea he had heart problems, no. Yes, I had a cup of coffee in the canteen and then went off to my dressing room just to finish my makeup. Well, the girls in makeup do most of it, but I'm afraid I don't trust them with my eyes. They make them look like poached eggs. No, during rehearsal, Tom was, as ever, his usual affable self. Well, that is to say, he did have a bit of a spat with Jerry Huxtable. You know, the naturalist who brought the snake in. I gather Mr. Huxtable is now going around with one of Tom's ex-wives, and, well, words were exchanged. I don't know exactly what it was about. No, I was busy rehearsing the make-your-own-designer-dress-from-bin-liners feature. I hadn't met Mr. Huxtable before that day, no. Though, of course, he's a familiar face on television. No, I don't know anything bad about him. Well, except according to some of the makeup girls, he has a bit of a reputation as a groper. Oh, yes, the show will continue, of course. We're professionals. We can't disappoint the public. The format will have to change a little bit. I'll probably have to take a bigger role. And at least Tom's replacement presenter is obvious. Rory Lansing. Well, he sat in when Tom was off on holiday last summer, so I imagine it'll be goodbye the Tom and Julie show and hello the Julie and Rory show. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much, Julie. I'm sure our guest investigators have a few follow-up questions to put to you.
Of course.
Keith and Sarah, you now have 2 minutes to cross-examine the witness. Keith, perhaps you'd like to begin questioning Julie Maitland.
Can I probe your relationship with Tom? I mean, how well did you know him off-screen?
Not very well at all. Obviously, the on-screen chemistry, people at home thought that we were married almost. You know, there was a lot of flirtation, but really, we are professionals, and that's as far as it went.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I do mind you asking.
I thought you might.
I'm prepared to tell you that I am 39. I was 39 last birthday.
Do you have a contract to be on the show?
Yes, I do.
How long is it for?
It's for another 3 years.
How are the ratings on the show?
Marvellous.
Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Would you tell us a bit more about Rory?
Rory Lansing.
Yes.
He's very, very good at his job. An excellent journalist and presenter.
When Tom was bitten by the snake, why didn't you reach forward and apply your lips to the area where he and suck out the poison?
Well, I am a professional, but I felt that was going too far.
What were you doing when you came in to have your eyes done by yourself? Where were you?
In my dressing room.
Could you see the studio floor from where you were in your dressing room?
No, I couldn't. I have quite a lot of time seeing my eyes, let alone the studio.
Are you short-sighted?
I'm a little bit. I wear contact lenses and, as you can see, false eyelashes, which enhance the eyes on screen. You might want to try them, Sarah.
Did you have access to the snake at any time?
No, absolutely not.
So we'd be right in saying you and the snake do not have a close relationship.
I think, yes. Not that particular snake, anyway.
Right. I think at that point we'd better stop the interrogation. Thank you, Julie. It's a real honour to meet you in the flesh.
I'm sure it is.
Right. And now we move on to our second statement, which comes from one of the guests on that morning's Tom and Julie programme, the zookeeper and naturalist Jerry Huxtable. Over to you, Jerry.
Well, I'm not going to pretend I like Tom Hendricks. That'd be hypocrisy. I've heard a lot about him from Ginny. She's my girlfriend now. But she used to be married to Tom. Poor kid. You know, it's amazing he didn't end up in court for wife-beating. Yeah. Well, we did have a bit of an argument before the programme. He made a disparaging remark about Ginny. Well, I don't want to repeat exactly what he said because... Well, all right then. He implied that Ginny had an exceptionally voracious sexual appetite, coupled with a complete lack of discrimination, and that was why she was with me. So, I came back with a few home truths Ginny had told me about Tom's deficiencies in the bedroom department. What? Who said I'm a groper? If it was that Julie Maitland, just ignore it. She's a frustrated old bag who makes up that kind of thing because she'd like to believe that she drives all men wild, whereas the truth, of course, is very different. Oh, the makeup girl said I was a groper. Nonsense. Doesn't worry me. When you achieve a certain level of celebrity, you just have to learn to live with all the ill-informed sniping. Well, I'll tell you. The reason I'm not afraid of saying I hated Tom Hendricks is this. If I contemplated murder, there is no way I would involve one of my snakes in it. I love those creatures. They're like family to me. Do you know what happened after my saw-scaled viper bit Tom Hendricks? One of the floor managers only leapt in and beat the snake to death with a table lamp off the set. Honestly, when you see the way human beings can behave, it's no wonder that I prefer animals.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry Huxtable. Sarah, you start this time.
You've talked a lot about Ginny, your girlfriend. Presumably you knew that Tom had a weak heart.
No, I didn't know he had a weak heart, actually.
So she'd never mentioned it along with
no,
many other things.
No, it wasn't
her
heart that she was
him.
Talking about in terms of his deficiencies, if you know what I mean.
Can I talk about the handling of a viper? What talent would you need to have to pick up a viper from that...
The main thing in any snake, the main talent you need is confidence. You've got to let them know who's boss. You've got to look at them straight in the eye. You've got to reach out your hand confidently. Confident but gentle.
Jerry, can I ask you a personal question? Do you have a criminal record?
Certainly not. I do not have a criminal record. My record is as clean as a recently washed sheep. Which, let me tell you, is very clean.
So you look after recently washed sheep as well as snakes?
I have done in my time.
I see.
Have you ever appeared on The Archers?
I have not appeared on The Archers, though I have auditioned several times and been turned down. For being a little bit too stereotyped.
Why, when the snake bit this gentleman, didn't you, as the one expert in the television studio about snakes, not jump in, A, to protect your own snake from attack by the floor manager, and B, to administer some kind of antidote, or indeed to suck the poison away?
Well, the thing is, I don't think it was the poison that killed him, because the poison from a saw-scaled viper, that'll take about 6 or 7 hours to work through and kill you.
But why didn't you save the snake?
Well, that floor manager moved ruddy fast, let me tell you. I thought vipers moved fast, but that floor manager moved faster. He wielded that IKEA lamp like nobody's missus, let me tell you.
Did he move?
60 watts, right on the bean it was.
Between 9.15 and 9.45, where were you?
Well, at the beginning of the coffee break, I went in to check to see if Deirdre, that's the snake, was all right. And after that, I went out and had a cup of tea.
So that's the last you saw of the snake?
Until she was, as I say,
yes.
Flattened.
Yes, yes. I don't think we need extend your ordeal any longer, Mr. Huxtable.
Never.
Thank you very much for your patience and cooperation. And now we come on to our third statement, which was given to the police by the weather girl on the Tom and Julie programme, Hayley Grant.
Well, I'm desolated by what happened. I mean, Tom was the consummate professional. I loved working with him, yeah. As a weather girl, of course, yeah. But also I co-presented him when Julie had flu a few weeks back. Well, apparently there were piles of letters saying the show was a lot livelier with us two presenting, but obviously they had to keep that quiet. Well, you know, Julie wouldn't like it. Julie, oh, she's a consummate professional, yeah. She seems a lot happier now there's a man around, you know. Oh, didn't you know? Oh, she and Rory Lansing, you know, 3 months now. My relationship with Tom. We did go out a few times, yeah, before I started working on the Tom and Julie show. I met him at a party. I suppose you could say a talent spotted me. Jerry Uxtable, oof. No, I don't like men with beards, for a start, especially what ginger beards, you know. And then he comes on to everyone, you know. He even tried it on with Julie that morning. During one of the rehearsal breaks, you know, she slapped him down in no uncertain terms. Can I go now? Only I've got to call back someone from the news of the world.
Thank you very much, Hayley, but if you'd be kind enough just to stay for a couple of minutes.
All right.
Our guest investigators may have a few questions to put to you. Keith? Right.
Yes, Hayley, you strike me as an attention seeker. Would that be unfair?
Well, a lot of people say I'm mad me, you know. But that's why they employed me, you know, that and because I look good in a bikini, obviously, for doing the sunny spells, you know.
Yes,
and then
you...
I wear a raincoat, you know, with a bikini underneath.
You obviously see the weather reports as a stage in your career and not the end in itself. You obviously want to become a star.
Well, no, I've been doing this for a few years now, you know. I quite like the weather. You know, there's a lot more to it, you know.
Yes, but that's all a bit of a flim-flam. Really, what you're after is the kind of position that Julie had, because you had a taste of that, didn't you? Real stardom.
Oh,
and that made you feel good. Did it make you feel jealous of her?
No, you know, I mean, Julie and I offer different things, you know.
Did you know that it was going to be Tom who was going to pick up that bowl and sniff into it?
No, I didn't know that. I don't get any information.
Where were you then between about 9:15 and about 9:45?
Oh, I go and have a coffee and... normally with some of the guys, you know, on cameras and stuff. They think I'm mad me. And then I go and sort of, you know, finish my makeup and...
So were you at all in the studio during that time?
No.
Were you in the dressing rooms?
I was
time?
In a dressing room and I was in the coffee bar.
You were not in the same dressing room as Julie?
Oh, no. Julie doesn't share a dressing room. Well, I wouldn't want to share a dressing room. You know, she has to do lots of things with sellotape and stuff, I think.
Thank you very much indeed, Hayley.
Right. Do you want one of my pictures to take away with you?
Yes, please. Could we have
right. I'll sign it
well?
For you later. Keith, isn't it?
Yes, please.
I'd like the one in the raincoat, actually.
All right. Thought you might.
Well, guest investigators, you have a lot more information to play with now. It may all be true, or alternatively, for reasons of their own, the witnesses may have been lying to you. Sarah and Keith, are you any closer to fingering the perpetrator of this appalling crime?
Well, because the most obvious thing here is Rory. Rory,
yes.
I think, sticks out.
He does a bit, doesn't he?
And so the question is... if Rory was to replace Tom,
yeah.
Who would most like to see Tom go?
That's a
and
very good
Rory
question.
And if Rory were to replace Tom, then there's no doubt that Julie would most like to see Tom go.
Right.
And it seems to us that Rory was in place before Tom was killed, that Rory was lined up as the sub, if you like. He was on the subs bench.
Yes.
And the moment Tom was out, Rory was popped in.
Well, fascinating. You know a lot more about it than I do. Perhaps the situation will soon become a bit clearer, because now we're going to move on to the next stage. Ah, excuse me. A motorcycle courier has just arrived. Yes, yes, I'm Mr. Brett. Sign there. Okay, fine. I certainly will, and I hope yours does too. Ah, yes. I've just been informed that some new evidence in the case has emerged, so we'll go straight over to hear the latest from Inspector Sergeant.
Something has occurred which has rather turned all our thinking about the case on its head. It arose during an interview that my colleague, WPC Bobby, conducted with a producer on the Tom and Julie show, Biff Totten. I'll play you the relevant extract.
So, Mr. Totten, you were producing that day's programme?
Yeah, well, I'm only kind of marking time in this stuff. Feature films is where I'm ultimately headed.
And what does your job as producer involve?
Well, setting up stories, deciding running orders.
And is the programme's running order fixed a long time in advance?
Oh, no, why? Changing up to the last second. I mean, take that day. We were making changes right up to the end of rehearsal.
Oh?
I mean, like the opening menu. That's when they trail what's in the programme. Well, the 9:15 coffee break had started. Almost everyone had left the studio, and then we swapped who was going to do what.
Who was going to do what?
Yeah, who was going to do what, yeah. We planned that Tom would trail the Jerry Huxtable snake item and Julie do the spicy food routine. But then Julie said, why do I always end up with the bloody cookery stuff? That's blatant gender stereotyping. So we changed it round.
And who knew that you'd changed it around?
Only Tom and Julie, till after the break, anyway.
So the rest of the people in the studio still thought it would be Julie Maitland who would lift up the bowl of spices.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, that's let loose a whole cattery into the pigeon coop, hasn't it? Potentially, the wrong person could have been murdered. Sarah and Keith, has what you've heard made you revise your previous opinions?
Well, I suppose it depends whether or not Haley was telling the truth, actually.
Mm.
Because if it was in Rory's interest to get rid of Tom, it was in Haley's interest to get rid of Julie.
Well, absolutely fascinating. I think probably what you need is a follow-up with the witnesses, and you'll be glad to hear that you're allowed just that. Sarah, who would you like to summon back to the stand first?
Oh, I think that weather girl, please.
That weather girl. Haley, could you... take off the raincoat and...
Haley, there's... I see that there's a vacancy in Baywatch coming up. and it's really only dependent on one question. That's all I really need to know, which is, were you informed of the change in the running order of the opening menu?
No, I wasn't. I just do the weather, really. That doesn't concern me. And anyway, I can't do American for the Baywatch thing, so I wouldn't be able to go for it. Thanks anyway for letting me know. Maybe they could dub me afterwards.
I'm sure a lot of people have wanted to do that. Keith.
What is your relationship with Rory?
Oh, I've met Rory. He's quite nice. You know, he's not my type, though, you know. You are, though. Is that your only question?
There may be others later.
Oh, right.
Right, who would you like to summon next? You can have Jerry Huxtable or the lovely Julie.
Could we have Julie, please?
Julie, I'm sorry to ask you back. I realise what stress
sorry,
you're under.
Sorry, I was doing my eyes.
Yes, and very Julie, lovely they look.
It's a stressful time having lost your co-presenter, but it seems to us that you had another presenter waiting in the wings, as it were, who came in with, may I say, indecent haste. When Tom died, were you at that stage involved in a close relationship with Rory?
Rory and I have been friends for a long time, yes. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit upset at realising that somebody had been trying to kill me and I have no enemies. The crew are really all my friends, like family. That's why I've been doing my eyes again, because I've been weeping.
Do you always make a point of suggesting that you will not do the cookery items because you feel that would be gender stereotyping?
I feel absolutely it's gender stereotyping, but I don't always make that point. Sometimes if it's a dish that I'm particularly fond of, then I will do it.
Right. Well, no. You did get it changed around.
I did get it changed around, yes.
Obviously a woman who knows her own mind.
Yes. Thank you for recognising that fact.
Well, it takes one to know one. Keith and Sarah, would you now like to call the third statement giver?
Oh, we certainly
Jerry
will.
Huxtable, back to the stand. Mr.
Yes,
Huxtable.
Please. Jerry, right. Now, by a curious coincidence, Sarah and I have a passion about vipers, and we brought our own right here, in fact. And under the heat of the light, a viper tends to go to sleep.
Arr.
So if this particular one jumped up and bit him,
Arr.
There had to be something to provoke it.
Well, I can only assume, you see, that it was the sharp movement, you see. The sharp movement. When he lifted the bowl, he didn't lift it slowly and confidently. Remember we talked about that
you
earlier?
Did talk about
slowly
that,
and confidently, I would say, is the only way to do it. Mind you, I wouldn't put my face near one.
Yeah.
Not under any circumstances, and that's what he did.
Sarah, do you have a question to put to Mr. Huxtable?
Did you grope Julie?
Groping? I don't grope. No, I'm just friendly. That's all. I'm tactile. You get that way when you work with animals.
Well, I think we'll move on. whatever stage your thinking has got to, guest investigators, I'm afraid your inquiry is at an end. Sarah, you can commit yourself first. Who do you think killed Tom Hendricks?
Well, we agree on this, which doesn't necessarily mean we're right.
Right.
We think Julie did it.
You think Julie did it. Okay. Any reasons or just random hatred?
She stood most to gain.
She stood most to gain.
And we believe that maybe Tom set up the snake to attack her anyway, and this was a way of a switch, if you like.
An entirely cogent and carefully reasoned solution, as I would have expected from two such fine minds. But is it a correct one? Well, we're about to find out, as we hear the truth of what happened in this week's Foul Play, Foul Playlet. Take it away, Lee and Maria, as we go over to the studio at West End Television just before the start of the Tom and Julie programme, where Tom Hendricks is being his usual charming self.
And I can assure you, Jerry Huxtable, that the only reason my ex-wife would go near a pint-sized hobbit like you is sheer desperation. Oh, I know why you're so bitter and twisted, Tom Hendricks. I would be if I had your problem. Ginny told me about what you look like getting out of the shower. Yeah, it's no surprise you get on so well with reptiles, Jerry, is it? Takes one to know one, eh? And what's more...
Could you stop this squabbling, please? Some of us are professional broadcasters working hard to get a show on the air.
And the true professional doesn't have to work hard, Julie, dear. It comes naturally.
Oh, like the colour of your hair, eh, Tom?
Now listen!
Could you just come with me, Mr. Huxtable? We need a snappy intro for your interview. Can you give me one?
No, I can give you one any time you like, darling. Ow! Hayley, hi. Must say, the legs look great.
Thank you, Tom.
Good idea of Biff's having all the women on the show in high heels.
Oh, Julie doesn't like it.
No, you wouldn't like it if you had legs like hers. I wish she'd dropped dead. It'd improve the show considerably.
What'd improve the show considerably? You planning to leave it, are you, Tom?
Ha 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 ha.
Because Rory Lansing would be only too happy to take over. What are you hanging around for, Hayley? What's the matter? Have you mislaid your brain cell? No, Julie. I just wanted to say, when you hand over to me for the first bulletin, I was going to start with a joke, so if you could feed me the sit-up line, that'd be great. Oh, stop trying to build up your part, Hayley. Julie Maitland is not anyone's feed. Just do what you're good at. And that means look at the camera, smile, and wiggle your bottom. Ugh!
What has got into you, Julie? Apart from Rory Lansing, that is?
What a wit, Tom. I'll bet Oscar Wilde's sitting on a cloud consumed by jealousy.
Or is it just being 50?
What? How did you find out?
We've got to break it there, loves. 9:15. Let's have some coffee.
Oh, Biff, I want to change the opening trails.
Oh, for heaven's sake, woman, what's wrong with what we've got?
I'm doing the cookery item again. It's blatant gender stereotyping. I'm sick of it. What are you doing, Mr. Huxtable?
Oh, just checking Deirdre's all right.
Deirdre?
My little saw-scaled viper. She's a pretty girl, isn't she? Mind you, so are you, Hayley.
Thank you. Oh!
You ever fancied an older man?
Well...
You wouldn't regret it. Look, let me just lock Deirdre up. Yeah. Then why don't you come to my dressing room for a little,
A little what?
Well, a little bit of what you fancy. What do you fancy, Hayley?
I fancy you telling me about your snake.
Oh, really?
No, your proper snake. Deirdre, just how poisonous is she?
Deadly.
And how long does that poison take to kill someone? Would they die? A snake for a snake, Tom Hendricks. And now no one will ever know that I'm not 39.
So that's what really happened. And incidentally, a searingly authentic portrayal of life in the average television studio, I'm sure. I'm sure you'd agree, Sarah. This is embarrassing because you were both right. You both actually got it right. That is not quite a first on this programme, but it's very good. I know even your reasoning wasn't a million miles away from the truth. These are getting too easy, aren't they? Anyway, congratulations. Well done. So, Foul Play has reached its end for another week. My thanks, as ever, go out to our neatly packaged cast of thousands, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. And also to this week's guest investigators, Sarah Dunant and Keith Miles.
Foul Play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Anne Jobson.